Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Manker Olson's The Rise and Decline of Nations' Economic Growth, Stagflation and Social Rigidities is a work of political economy that explains long-run economic performance through institutions, interest groups, and collective action. Published in 1982, it extends Olson's earlier theory of collective action from small groups to entire societies and states. The book is not a conventional macroeconomic textbook and not a narrative history of particular countries. Instead, it asks why some nations become economically rigid, why growth slows, and why inflationary or stagnationary pressures can persist even when the basic productive capacity of a society remains strong. Olson's central concern is the political consequences of stable, prosperous periods over time. Organized distributive coalitions can accumulate influence, shape policy for their own benefit, and impose costs that are dispersed across the wider population. The result is often slower growth, weaker adaptation, and declining economic dynamism. The book is influential because it links micro-level incentives to macro-level national outcomes in a clear, highly original framework. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how distributive coalitions convert private advantages into public economic costs. The book's core mechanism is the rise of distributive coalitions, meaning organized groups that seek policy advantages for their members rather than broad social welfare. Olson argues that such groups tend to emerge naturally in stable societies because concentrated benefits are easier to organize than diffuse social interests. A small group can mobilize around tariffs, subsidies, regulatory barriers, labor protections, or professional privileges, while the costs are spread across millions of citizens who each have little incentive to resist. This asymmetry is central to the book. It explains why policies that are rational for a narrow coalition can still be harmful at the national level. Olson does not present this as a moral failure by individuals, but as a structural outcome of incentives. The book's originality lies in showing that national decline can arise from ordinary political organization, not only from external shocks, bad leaders, or cultural weakness. Economic stagnation is therefore treated as a political equilibrium produced by successful interest group formation. Secondly, why social rigidity builds up after long periods of stability and peace, Olson places special emphasis on the relationship between time, stability, and institutional accumulation. He argues that societies that avoid war, revolution, or major political disruption often become more encumbered by accumulated interests. In a stable environment, organizations survive across generations, build resources, develop lobbying capacity, and deepen their influence over policy. Over time, this creates social rigidities, rules, expectations, and vested interests that make adaptation harder. The book suggests that short-term stability can have a hidden cost because it allows coalitions to harden into durable structures. These rigidities reduce flexibility in labor markets, taxation, investment, and innovation. The result is not immediate collapse, but gradual loss of dynamism. This explanation is important because it challenges the assumption that continuity is always beneficial. Olson instead shows that continuity can preserve inefficient arrangements long after their original justification has disappeared. His account is especially concerned with the slow, cumulative nature of institutional decay, where decline comes from too much successful organization rather than too little order. Thirdly, the book's explanation of stagflation as a symptom of blocked adjustment. One of the book's most distinctive features is its treatment of stagflation, which was a major concern in the economic context of the late 1970s and early 1980s. Olson does not reduce stagflation to a purely technical monetary problem. Instead, he interprets it as a symptom of deeper institutional and political rigidities. When powerful groups can resist competition, protect rents, and influence policy, economies become less able to adjust to changing conditions. Prices and wages may become sticky, competition may be limited, and productive restructuring may be slowed. In that setting, inflation can coexist with weak growth and high unemployment because the economy is not freely reallocating resources to more productive uses. The book's contribution is to connect macroeconomic instability to the structure of interest group politics. Rather than treating stagnation and inflation as separate phenomena, Olson frames them as linked outcomes of the same deeper problem, organized resistance to change. This makes the book valuable as a bridge between political economy and macroeconomic diagnosis. Fourthly, collective action theory expanded from small groups to national development. The rise and decline of nations is also important because it generalizes Olson's earlier collective action theory beyond the classic problem of public goods. In his earlier work, he showed why individuals often fail to organize around shared interests when benefits are diffuse. In this book, he applies that logic to whole political systems. The same basic incentive structure that makes large groups difficult to mobilize also explains why special interests can dominate democratic policy. Broad social interests, such as consumers, taxpayers, and future growth beneficiaries, are often poorly organized, while narrow groups that gain immediately from protection or regulation are highly organized. This shift from the micro to the macro level is one of the book's major intellectual achievements. Olson shows that a theory of individual incentives can explain large-scale national outcomes without changing its logic. That gives the book unusual coherence and helps explain why it became foundational for public choice theory and new institutional economics. Lastly, limits of the argument and the book's enduring policy relevance. Although highly influential, the book is not a simple blueprint for reform, and its explanatory power has limits that readers should keep in mind. Olson emphasizes that organized interests can distort policy, but real economies are shaped by many other forces too, including technology, global trade, state capacity, demographic change, and international shocks. The book is strongest as an explanation of why entrenched interests make adaptation harder, not as a complete model of every growth slowdown. Still, its policy relevance remains strong because it encourages readers to ask who benefits from a policy, how widely costs are distributed, and whether political stability is generating hidden inefficiency. It is especially useful for readers interested in regulation, trade protection, labor market rigidities, subsidy systems, and institutional reform. The book remains distinctive because it offers a compact but far-reaching explanation of decline that is both economic and political. Its argument is less about one nation or one era than about a recurring structural tendency in modern states. In conclusion, The Rise and Decline of Nations is best suited for readers interested in political economy, public choice theory, economic development, and the institutional sources of stagnation. Economists will find a provocative explanation of why growth can slow even without obvious collapse in productive capacity. Political scientists will value its account of how organized interests shape policy and create durable institutional bias. Policy readers and advanced students will also benefit from its clear, testable logic about concentrated benefits and diffuse costs. What makes the book stand out among similar works is its broad but disciplined framework. Olson does not rely on vague cultural explanations or on a narrow business cycle story. Instead, he builds a theory of national decline from the incentives of collective action and the accumulation of distributive coalitions over time. That gives the book lasting relevance in debates about regulation, rent-seeking, labor market rigidity, and state reform. It is especially valuable for readers who want to understand why well-ordered societies can still become economically sluggish. The book remains a classic because it explains decline as a political equilibrium, not as an accident. If you would like to support Mankur Olson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.